The best way to learn a language? Immersion. Living where the language is spoken and using it every day. But if that's not in the cards this year, you can still learn a language the second best way. And that's with Babbel. Be a better you in 2024 with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Don't pay hundreds of dollars for private tutors or waste hours on apps that don't really help you speak the language. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts and help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Babbel's designed by real people for real conversations, and their tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world. Here's a special limited-time deal for our listeners. Right now, get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription at babbel.com/bluewire. That's 60% off at babbel.com/bluewire, spelled BABBEL.com/bluewire. Rules and restrictions apply.
Hello, everybody. My name is Tim Daniel. I will soon be joined by Ben Brown. But welcome to this week's edition of Late Night Reds, brought to you by The Riverfront, part of the Blue Wire Media Podcast Network. Very excited for another fun show this week. And of course, this would not be possible without any of you lovely, lovely people at patreon.com/riverfrontcincy, where just for a couple bucks a month, you can come hang out with us each and every day. And talk a little baseball with us. What's up, Josh? How are you? Fellas, soon to be fellas. Like I said, Benjamin behind. But wanted to kind of get started, obviously. Can't miss that 9 on the dot, right? You know, can't have that happening. But a lot of fun things to talk about this week. I know this was not ideal to lose 2 out of 3 this weekend, but I thought they played pretty well. Curious what you guys thought about that as well. I know. Hoping for Ben to get on in time for us to talk about that, but we'll see how that goes. We'll just go and get started. We'll go through the series and kind of talk about a couple things. So yeah, went toe-to-toe with the defending World Series champion Texas Rangers in Arlington. Friday, you lose 2-1. I thought Graham Ashcraft pitched really well, honestly. Got into the seventh, no walks, you know, had one earned run. I thought Lucas Sims, you know, minus that one pitch, honestly, was fine. Obviously that's what cost him the game, which was disappointing, but I didn't think he was really all that bad. Saturday, hold it just a second. Benny.
What up, man?
Hey, pal.
Bro, I tell you what, this my computer was acting so slow.
Yeah.
Insane.
Well, you're here. We just got started, so you didn't miss anything. So, what's going to talk a little bit about the Rangers series? It was a good series, okay. Honestly. Yeah. So, we just talked about Friday, where Graham Ashcraft was pretty good. Saturday, which we're going to dive deeper into this, obviously. Hunter Green, 7 innings, 1 hit, 1 walk, 6 strikeouts. Fantastic. Jonathan India, 4 hits on top of the 2 hits he had to start the weekend. And then Will Benson obviously goes 2 for 5 with a home run Saturday. And today, look, just couldn't get over the hump. Andrew Abbott has a 4 spot to start the game, but pitches really well the rest of his start. the bullpen. The three most unlikely guys, maybe you would think, in the bullpen holding him down this through this one between Lucas Sims, Emilio Pagan. And I don't have – I had this – of course, it slips my mind. But, of course, and then Jonathan India once again today, 2-for-4. So, Ben, I'm going to bring this back to the full screen here when we talk – when we look into this. And I know it's loss of 2 out of 3. But I feel – kind of better about this team than I did in the past, because I've always felt good about them. I think that, you know, I do think they'll win the Central. And if you look at MLB.com, if you go by expected win-loss, the Reds should be in first place right now in the Central and also have the best run differential of anyone in the division without the XYZ guys we've mentioned. But you split the series with the Phillies, you win the season series against the Phillies, and then you just have a couple of games against the Rangers, who I know haven't found their stride quite yet, but are still pretty loaded with talent. And the starting pitching was really solid overall. I mean, one really bad inning between the three guys, and the rest of it, they were really good. I feel pretty decent about this team after this weekend, even more than I did already.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, there are a couple guys that I'm concerned about. But overall, it was really, like you said, one inning each game, and even not in the two losses, that was kind of crazy. I mean, you know, today was the first inning, gives up 2 home runs. Suter comes in and he gives up 4 runs the other night, you know, but other than that, dude, I feel pretty confident about, what we've done over the weekend. Like I feel pretty good. People tend to forget, man, that's the defending champs. You know what I mean? So like, even though they're not rolling, they still have the pedigree of winning. So for you to go on the road and to compete like that, I still feel pretty good. Like I said, there are a couple guys I'm concerned about.
Well, we're going to dive into that.
We're definitely going to talk about that. I feel good overall. I know it's hard not to win a series and still feel good, but I still feel pretty good about where we're at.
So, all right. So Josh brings up, this is kind of the point that why I'm feeling the way I feel right now. Being down Matt McClain, Noelvi Marte, and Teacher Friedel, we were looking pretty good. And then the sickness that went through the clubhouse, we were looking all right. That's exactly where I'm at. Like, they're in these games, the run differential is where you want it to be, and their offense hasn't found the stride yet. That's why I feel pretty good about this. You mentioned, like, yeah, that's the defending champs. That's a tough place to win. It's Bruce Bochy who stands on business. Like,
yes, so if you're playing,
yeah, so you know, that's the same thing as well. It was nice to see old friend Mikey Biceps. I'm glad we got the better of him, obviously, but happy to see him doing well there. And we talked about this forever, and we're going to get into some individual performances here in a second. The division wasn't very good this weekend either. The Cardinals got one game against the Mets, but the Red Sox are smoking the Cubs. They're up 4-1 right now. They put the work on them as well. 17-0, 2 touchdowns and a field goal. Yeah. Oh, man. And then, of course, the Yankees put up 15 spot on the Brew Crew yesterday.
Yeah.
So I feel all right, man. I do want to dive into a few other things. Oh, hey, bro. So I see Steven pops up on the feed today. He's in Arlington. He's at the game. Did you know they serve Whataburger in the ballpark there?
No way.
Dude, he's got a picture. He's like, ready for the Reds game. He's got a Whataburger in his hand. I'm like, what? Like, that alone could get me in your stadium. All right? Yeah. Like,
yeah, that's legit.
Yeah. My hot take, maybe we're going to lose some listeners tonight. Whataburger's better than In-N-Out. I stand on business.
He stands on it.
Steve, I will DM you real quick. I'll text you the link. Looks like we're going to have a surprise appearance by Steve Offenbaker tonight, people. You had no idea.
There it is, baby.
No idea my dog was coming to hang with us tonight. All right. I just texted to you. We've never done that on air. So that was pretty sweet. Oh, yeah. Dude, we got to talk about this. Bob brings up a great news. This just broke like an hour before we went live.
Yep.
MLB going back to the old uniform template. Like,
yeah, absolutely.
Sometimes internet bullying, it's never a good thing, but sometimes it's beneficial, right?
Like, hey, listen. Internet bullying got us WrestleMania 40. You know what I mean? What yeah. we wanted. You know what I
mean? So, that's true.
Internet bullying sometimes is not good, but sometimes, you know what? America listens. MLB listens.
Scott Whataburger is better. My guy. Here he is, guys. What up, buddy?
What is happening?
What's up?
Are you in your hotel room in Arlington right now?
Yeah, I am. I'm still. I fly out in the morning. I fly home in the morning.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, nice. Joining us on a surprise appearance, Stephen Offenbaker of Locked On Reds. If you know Reds podcast, you obviously know who this guy is. And I want to share real quick before we get into the series, because you were down there. We hung out opening day weekend a couple nights. We caught a couple of those games together. And I made a joke to you that we laughed at literally for hours. And so when you hang out with Steve and Jeff and those guys, when you're at games, you know, everyone comes up to them and it's awesome. It's really cool to see them get recognition for the hard work they put in, where everyone's like, I love your show. I listen to your show every day. And you certainly respect it and you like it. So I made the joke that I was Paul Rudd in Avengers Endgame when I'm standing next to him and all these people going up to him like, you guys want a picture with me? I'm Ant-Man. And I think like 5 people got the joke, but I really enjoyed it.
You're better than Ant-Man. Come on.
All right. Give us a sit here before we get into the series. Whataburger and the ballpark.
All right. So that's legit. Yeah, I posted that picture of it, and it was perfect. A little bit more expensive than going to the good old Whataburger on the corner over here or whatever. But right there at the ballpark, giant size burger. They've got the milkshakes. They've got the Dr. Pepper and the authentic original Whataburger styrofoam cup.
Yeah, you can't go wrong. Man. Oof. I'm craving Whataburger now. So we got Steve, come back from a Hawaiian franchise, one of those in Cincinnati. Okay, cool. With that Locked On money.
Oh man. If yeah. only. If only.
All right, dude. So I've started the show by saying I come out of this series feeling okay about the team, even though it didn't go their way two of those nights. Really, the starters had one inning that wasn't very good. It was the first inning today. Mm-hmm. The bullpen really was solid throughout the week, and minus Brent Suter's ninth inning yesterday, but they were up 8-0, so I'm not mad at him for that, especially how good he's been. Obviously, Ellie doing Ellie things is always going to be popular, but Jonathan India's bat came up, which we're going to talk about that here in a second. And all the guys that are missing that every podcast has talked about, you know, they went toe-to-toe with the World Series champions and really could have made the case they could have won all 3 games. I feel all right, man. Where are you at on the vibe check right
yeah,
now?
Yeah, yeah. Jeff disagreed with me. I felt like when you look at the schedule between now and when the St. Louis Cardinals arrive on Memorial Day, which, by the way, I don't know if you caught that show where we were talking about the schedule, but the St. Louis Cardinals come to town on Memorial Day and the Reds saw fit. And it's perfect. The Reds saw fit to make that senior day down at old Great American Ballpark. So
you'll be there.
So, oh my God.
Ah! Well,
gotta go. This has been my appearance on the show. But you know, the average age of a player for the St. Louis Cardinals, I think, is the same as me, like 46 years mm-hmm. old. So the fact that it's senior day when they come to town is great. But Jeff disagreed with me in that I felt like of the schedule from now through then, this was the most winnable series. This was the series where they had the best chance to either eke out a series win or even maybe steal a sweep, just because they weren't facing the Rangers' best pitchers. The Rangers have been kind of streaky. I thought they were catching them at the right time. And I think you're right. Absent Abbott's one for his first inning yesterday, or today rather, where he clearly just didn't have command of his pitches in the first inning, and he found it after the first inning. Absent that, it was a great start. And you go to Ashcraft's start on Friday. That's another case where if that's turned just a little different in a 2-1 ball game, they win that game as well. So I'm still not ready to panic. I have some concerns. Jeff and I are going to talk about on tomorrow's show. I'm worried about Jamer Candelario. He is not. I am. I'm worried a little bit, starting to worry about Emilio Pagan not being quite as advertised. And I can't really point to something specific in his numbers. It's an eye test thing. It's a gut thing to how I feel when he comes into a ball game right now. And he is not inspiring, you know, me being like, sure, all right, we got this. We're getting these outs. Like I'm a little bound up when he comes in. So, but by and large, I think that given where they're at, given who they're missing, given everything that's happened between 2 weeks before opening day and now, the fact that they're still above 500, the fact that they're still in the hunt, the fact that the wheels have not fallen off, all say to me that when we start getting people back, this team is going to be really good, really fast.
Yeah.
TJ Friedl will start to turn that tide as soon as we can get him back up here. And then not long after that, Noel V. Marte will be eligible to return from his suspension. And then we're cooking with gasoline, and hopefully are in a position to bring back a bionic surgically repaired Matt McClain end of August, beginning of September to make a playoff push. So I'm still willing to talk about this team being a playoff team, making a playoff push. It's just not exactly how we envisioned it when we talked about this leading into the season.
Yeah. Good friend of the network, obviously, Seth Shaner. Check him out at Red Lake Roundtable. Oh, yeah. And this Matt McClain, yet I still like this team. Perfect. Exactly how I feel. Let's go real quick, Ben. We'll get you back in the convo here.
Oh, you're good.
Jonathan India this weekend. So, Steve, if I'm going to bring up segments from your show this week, I apologize. I don't mean to make you bury your lead. It's just, like we said, you were a surprise appearance, which I always appreciate when you're on. This weekend in Texas, 8 of 12, a homer, 4 RBIs, 4 hits yesterday, 2 on Friday, 2 today. I'm not going to go ahead and like say like he's back and we're going to see what we expect from him, but this was a good feeling, right? We know that he wasn't hitting the ball very well for, you know, the start of the year, but he was drawing walks, right? And he was still able to do that. And here, I know he didn't play second base this week. He was DHing, but I feel like when you come out of what we saw from him this week with, 8 hits and 12 at-bats and the way he was dialed in the box, I feel pretty good about him. Ben, where are you on the weekend of Jonathan India?
It was a great bounce back weekend. And I know that he was coming off that little flu bug and having some issues with his health and things like that. But dude, that's a really good, solid bounce back weekend for him. Because even before last week, I know that we had talked about his struggles at the plate and, you know, him being at leadoff, getting him moved down the lineup a little bit. May have helped him get a little bit more comfortable. And not that he was a bad leadoff guy. I'm not saying that. But, you know, when you move a guy down in the lineup, it gives him an opportunity to see more pitches from other at-bats. So you're getting more feedback than you are as the leadoff guy. So I think some of that may have helped him. I think days off sometimes help because it's just resets your system, right? So a lot of that for him was just a reset. And a lot of it, too, I think a lot of it is that he might have been pushing a little bit as being that leader and that leadoff guy. So, I think that seeing that him come back after those days off, come in, hit baseballs well, have good at bats, I think that's definitely a good sign.
Yeah, Jonathan India is seeing beach balls while everybody else is seeing baseballs right now, and that's a great place to be. This lineup has been desperate for somebody to be the engine that drives the thing. That was supposed to be Matt McClain. That's who it was supposed to be. That was what his role was going to be. And then they lose Friedel, who you would think would be your option B there to be kind of the guy that's going to be your plate setter, your driver of this machine. And they lost both of those guys. So this lineup's been desperate for somebody to step up. Does that mean Jonathan India is back? Not quite ready to say that for sure, but I think that he's due to go on a heater, man. He needs a good solid 2 weeks of what we saw this weekend in Arlington. And so much fun to see live, by the way, in that ballpark. For the most part, had a great time down here watching the old Red Legs. I got to see some really good performances. But Jonathan India, you know, he still keeps showing us flashes of getting to be that guy. And, you know, my, how he's come from man without a home, man without a position, man, are we even going to keep you here, to pretty much being just invaluable to what's going on right now.
Yeah, you aren't lying there for sure. Yeah, this is what you wanted. And you mentioned obviously going to San Diego here this week to start the weekend series. He's played pretty well there in the past. He's had success in Petco. So hopefully he can keep that going, and we can get that going, especially coming back home for that Baltimore series. You guys want to talk about Hunter Green, or should we get to the fan mail questions? We got three from the Patreon this week I want to look at.
Ooh. Let's discuss a little Hunter Green.
All right. And Steve, I'm so happy you were here for this, because you and I had a very lengthy Hunter Green conversation when you were in town. Mm-hmm. And you and I are both guys who we've texted about it. We're kind of in the same boat of, we really love him, we're not giving up on him, but we want to see improvement. And what was that this week? How about that? So Bo starts this week. He goes into the seventh inning, and I know the Phillies start, people have mixed reviews on. I understand that. I'm not going to fight you to say you're right or wrong. And then last night, yesterday, obviously, just tremendous. Seven innings, one hit, one walk. But this week, 14 innings pitched between two starts, just four earned runs. That's right under 2.6 ERA. You love to see that. 12 strikeouts to three walks for Hunter Green. That's nice to see. Mm-hmm. Only eight hits, and most importantly, no homers. Guys, this is what we want to see, right? This is the dude that we keep thinking we're going to get. And I think that, and I understand, look, four runs, people are not going to be pleased with that. Four runs in seven innings, I understand. But against that team, that he did that against the Philadelphia on Monday, where realistically, he left them with a chance to win, and the bullpen just didn't have a great Monday night. And today and yesterday, just as soon as he took the mound, he looked locked in. First inning, I think he had like 11 pitches, and it was like, oh, this Hunter's here. You saw him falling back in love with his fastball and locating it more than anything was important. So dude's like, I feel super happy. I know he's going to have a really tough start. Isn't start his next start coming up this weekend against the Orioles, but that was a really comforting week from him after the ups and downs we've seen so far this season.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.
It's done. Goal of the year, Panarin! Part of the past, the celebrations forgotten, the history,
Vegas Golden Knights!
History, win! We're back to a blank slate, clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Yeah, somewhere along the way, I've got labeled this anti-Hunter Green guy.
And I didn't say I that. Like,
no, not from you. My own comment section has been lighting me up. In fact, I got several comments after that start. Like, oh, I bet Steve's sad to see that this Hunter Green. I'm like, no, I'm not sad. This is the Hunter Green that I've been waiting
why would you be sad?
All along. Why would I be sad? Right. No, somewhere along the way, people felt like that, well, you know, you don't like Hunter Green. No, I didn't like Hunter Green being bad. I wanted good Hunter Green. I wanted Hunter Green to be this guy. I wasn't ready to call him an ace anymore. I wasn't ready to say I would rely on him in game one of a playoff series, because you never know what was going to happen. You never know who was going to show up, and he was only going to give you four innings. As he continues to get command of his fastball, as he pitches to contact versus trying to just blow everybody's doors off, he gets better. And for me, if he can be this guy, if he can give them six or seven innings every time that he goes out, somewhere between zero and three earned runs ish, that's a guy you can rely on. That's a guy that I'm confident to say, yes, start him in game one, run him out there. I'm happy he's on the mound today. So now it's a matter of him taking what we've seen the last couple starts and showing us that that's who he is and that he can be consistent. I don't want to see four inning Hunter Green show up in that start versus the Orioles because he's amped up and they're at home or whatever. I need him to be the guy that he is every time he comes out. Some of that's youth. Some of that is, I think his confidence was busted a little bit as he got smacked around. You know, he lacked some of that swagger that really made him who he was in the beginning, right?
Yeah, so, absolutely.
I think he's showing us more and more and more the pitcher that he can be. I just need him to dial it in now and be consistent with it. And no, I am not happy that he has bad performances, and I'm not sad that when he's good. I want him to be the ace of the staff.
Yeah. No, you're spot on, Steve. Like, the biggest thing for me that I notice is that it's not 10 or 11, 12 strikeouts a game. It's throwing the ball consistently, putting his fastball where he wants it. Pitching to contact has been huge for him. Not everybody's going to strike out at a fastball. You have to learn how to pitch to contact, put your fastball in spots where you want it, and your off stuff has to be good. And that's what I've kind of seen in these last couple of starts. His off stuff has been a little bit better. His fastball's been better located. And he's not trying to blow the ball by everybody. He's just pitching to contact and saying, hey, guys, we got to play some defense behind that. And he does. He's got a very good defense behind him. So that's been the cool thing to see with these last couple of starts is his ability to be able to locate that fastball and not be the guy saying, yeah, try to hit it. And you know, in turn, also, I think he's starting to mature a little bit when you brought that up, his maturity. I think he's starting to mature a little bit and understand that, you know what, I am a strong pitcher, but I have to also think about where I locate things. And I have to be able to rely on other stuff. So those have been the cool things to be able to see him do. Also, too, dude, getting the seven innings is so clutch. I mean, that's the key to everything. Mm-hmm. If he can get you the seven innings, two, like you said, zero to three runs, seven innings, you know, minimal walks, you know, six to eight strikeouts, dude, that's where you want him to be. Mm-hmm. That's where you want him to be. So to see that from those last couple starts, to see him where he is now, I'm hoping that is who he is for the next 20 starts. Like, that's the Hunter Green that we need to see.
So I'm going to reference my favorite website in the universe here real quick, Baseball Savant. I know I reference it every week, but I love it. So here's where Hunter Green is right now in percentile rankings. Fastball run value, 98 percentile. Expected ERA, 88 percentile. Expected opponent batting average, 93 percentile. Fastball velocity is still in the 97 percentile, and he's still getting people out. This is what we want. Scott, right here. Point of the show so far, if StreamYard will cooperate with me. Strikeouts provide a wealth factor, but they're overrated. And out and out. Your team needs 27 of every game, especially given the state of starting pitching these days. Spot on. That's spot on. That's exactly what we're talking about. Like, Steve, you were there, so you could see it. Like, we got the TV angle, obviously. We unfortunately had to listen to AJ Pierzynski call the game. You were lucky that you didn't have to go through that. But he was dotting his slider yesterday. Mm-hmm. Dotting it. It was, and dude, it was awesome. Like, low and away, he got Corey Seager on one that it was like, that was beautiful.
And you know what's interesting is he only threw that pitch like 27 times, 27%. He threw his fastball in the 70s, 70%, 73, 74% fastballs. And then he dropped in the slider another 20-something percent, and he threw one splitter.
One's all you need, buddy. One is all you need.
Wow.
Yeah. So I think we can all agree we're very excited about that here and where we're going here. So a couple segments I forgot to put in the slides. Ben?
Yeah.
I forgot this week's Ellie is awesome slide, but I got a tweet.
Oh, man. It's all right.
So after today, and mind you, as I say this stat, we still have two more games left in the month of April. Ellie De La Cruz now has the fourth most stolen bases of any player before the end of April in Major League history, behind Ricky Henderson at 22, Ricky Anderson at 20, and Deion Sanders at 19. Oh, by the way, they still have two games left. So, yeah. And I wanted to point out, too, not to keep referencing the fact that Steve is in the ballpark and he can attest to what we're saying, but yesterday obviously wasn't his best day at the park, like the plate. No one's going to remember that day at the plate, but even though he wasn't getting hits, even though he wasn't, like, things were going his way, he didn't give up on anything and he made some great plays defensively. Mm-hmm. So I'm very excited about that. Did you guys carry bunted today? I actually kind of like the decision to go for
it. I have real problems with that.
Do you?
If you want to
sure.
Look, I like that they added that this is going to be a weapon that he has in his arsenal. This is going to be something that he can go to. But when you're in the eighth inning and you're capable of changing the outcome of the game with one swing, you do not bunt. You do not bunt to try and get on base and pass the buck to somebody else to try and win the game for you. Ellie De La Cruz is one of the superstars of this team, and he should have been swinging for the fences in that at bat. Like, if that was the third inning, I wouldn't care. But because it was so late in the game and that was going to be his last opportunity to bat, he should have been trying to win that game for the Reds.
I can respect that. Yeah, I can.
I could see that. My. I guess my only thing is that Ellie getting on base can change the game. I definitely see where, like, he definitely home run, get on base. But I guess I can see where he's trying to get on. I mean, still second, still third. Somebody knocks him in. Like you said, there's multiple things to it. But like you said, eighth inning. I can see, like, yeah, he needs to be swinging for the fences, especially with his power.
Not wrong. He can do a lot of things with his legs. I just feel like the way that he could have best helped the team in that situation is to put that ball in play. Go get a triple. Go force the outfielder to make an error, and you get your extra base there versus, you know, hoping you're going to leg out a bunt. We see, he didn't, you know?
Yeah. I think, too, it's important to mention in this conversation, he was on the right-hand side of the box where he hasn't been the best. Mm-hmm. And obviously, if he's going against the righty, there's no way he's bunting there. I think we can all agree with that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think that I don't hate it. I understand your point. I don't love bunting. I've been pretty honest about that for a long time now. Every time Santiago Espinal puts the bat down, I'm like... But I would be all right if he didn't do it again. But in that situation where they're trying to spark a rally, I don't hate it. But I also understand where you're coming from. So let's get to a couple fan viewer mail questions here. We got three of them that we got from the Patreon, which you also can be a member at patreon.com/frontcincy. By the way, you know, as a member at patreon.com/frontcincy, I just found out recently, Stephen Offenbaker.
Yes, sir.
All right. So first one comes from Hooper Powell. Should we be happy if we are two games over 500 at the All-Star break? All right. So we're obviously about to go into this May stretch that we're all talking about, that we're like, holy crap, like, this is going to be frightening. What do we do? Like, they're playing a lot of really good teams. If you get through May with a 500 month, June and July aren't terrible, and it's baseball. You got to play the games. You got to, right, obviously. But this is what June looks like to get an idea. Road trip to Colorado, coming for the Cubs, the Guardians. You got the Pirates. You got the Cardinals. You have the Red Sox. July, you've either got the Yankees series. You got the Tigers series, which, by the way, keep an eye on that Saturday Tigers series news to come. and then you got the Rockies and Marlins for quite a few games. I think that... if there are only two games above 500, I'll probably be disappointed, but I'll still feel really good where they're at, because the Central stinks. We've been through this a million times. And I think that what they have post All-Star break, the schedule's not terrible. May is just going to be the one thing where it's like, get through this healthy and competitive, and you've got a shot.
July, two games over 500. That might be a little late for me to feel good about being only two games over 500. You know, that May schedule you're talking about, they've got all of their games against the Los Angeles Dodgers in May, all of their games against the Arizona Diamondbacks in May, all of their games against the San Diego Padres are done in May. Basically, they're just playing all of the National League West for the month of May for the most part. And there's some really brutal travel arrangements in there too. They're going to go from Cincinnati to Los Angeles in back-to-back days. On a getaway day. So like there's some stuff, like clearly they pissed off a schedule maker somewhere along the way, because May is brutal. But if they can be at or above 500 at the end of May, even if they're a game or two under 500 at the end of May, that's where they should now be able to strike. Because like you're saying, the schedule gets easier and people are coming back. TJ Friedl should be back by then. By the end of June, we should have Noel V. Marte back in the lineup. So this team should be in an upswing at that point. So as long as they're above 500, I guess I'll be happy. I mean, I'm not rejoicing at two games over 500. As long as they don't have a losing record by then this whole, you know, keeping hope alive for a playoff run remains. So
no,
I guess I answered that both ways. Sorry. Yes, I'll be happy. And no, I don't want it to only be two games.
Yeah.
Okay. Perfect. Perfect.
No, yeah, I was going to say, I would be happy, but like, I'd be happy, but it would be like, it's a weird happy, you know, like you expect more, but you understand, like, I kind of understand where Steven's coming from. Like I would definitely love for them to be more than two games over 500, but, you know, I don't know. That's just kind of a weird spot. The end of July is a really weird spot to be only two over 500. You know what I mean? So, would I be happy? Yeah, because they're not, I don't have a losing record, but I also am expecting more, I guess. So it'll be difficult.
If they're only like 2 to 4 games above 500 at the trade deadline, they're still in the race.
Yes.
Which means make a move this time around. Mm-hmm. That's all I'm going to say. We're not going to get into should they or shouldn't they have last year. That's all I'm going to say. All right. Question two comes from Brandon Kamek, which I can't believe I still read his comments here after he criticized Ghostbusters for not being a good movie, but we'll let that slide. He said, what are your expectations for Friedel coming back? Close to who he was last year, like the Stone Temple Pilots lyric, half the man he used to be. This is a great question. Because
that's a good question.
I knew that TJ Friedel was really good last year. Then I looked at the numbers and realized just how good he was. And everyone always brings up the fact he's going to his fourth year at age 29. I don't think that's as abnormal as it used to be in Major League Baseball. Actually, it might change because Paul Skeens is like 14 years old and he's about to make his debut for the Pirates in the near future. But I think it's probably going to take him a couple weeks to get things going, like most people when they come back from break, right? And I'm really excited to see how he looks in the rehabs in Louisville. From what I understand, he's starting to swing this week. He just said on Jim Day's pod the other day, who was it? Tyler Stevenson prank called him from the pod. He said he took 60 swings off a tee that day. So that's a reassuring thing. I think by June, if he's back middle end of May, I think by the middle of June, we're going to start to see the old TJ Friedel.
Well, the question is, who is the old TJ Friedel? Is the old TJ Friedel the guy that we got last year, or was that an outlier? Was that one of those seasons that to not be replicated? Jeff and I went back and forth about this all offseason because I really felt like they needed to go get an outfielder in the offseason because I'm not sold that who TJ Friedel was last year is who TJ Friedel really is. I want to be so wrong about that. I want the guy that he was last year to be the guy that comes walking through that door when they activate him and put him on this team, because really they've painted themselves into a corner where they don't have any other option. They need him to be that guy or they're in trouble. So, you know, half the man he used to be, I think that's probably extreme, but I don't know. Okay. Using my own bit against me. Okay.
No, I want him to be good. I really do. I don't know that the super success against left-handers and the everyday center fielder, if that's him. We're going to find out real quick because that's exactly how they're going to use it. So,
good point.
Yeah. It's always concerning to me when someone starts the season late off of an injury. That's kind of the biggest thing for me is how fast he's able to get himself up to speed. Because, you know, you can take all the at-bats you want in Louisville. You can take all the at-bats you want in practice and batting practice and swings off the tee and all these different things. it's funny. But, you know, I think that the biggest thing for him is, for me to see him is how comfortable he can get himself and how normal he can be coming off the injury, starting, you know, he got hurt in spring training. You know, he's coming out late. How fast he can get adapted back to Major League Baseball. And we've seen that before. You know, we always discussed Tyler Stevenson and his shoulder and how long it's really taken him, how truly long it's taken him to kind of get somewhat to where back to where he is. So it'll be interesting to see how he adjusts and how fast he can truly get back to himself. And Steven, you bring up a great point. Like, is the guy we saw last year the guy? I mean, that's a huge question.
Here's what I do know. The defense at least gets better immediately.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Everything offensively, 100%. We're gonna find out.
Well, it's addition by subtraction, because for the love of God, we can stop running Stuart Fairchild out there.
Yeah.
So that just in and of itself fixes some things offensively. I don't know if you watch his at-bats over the weekend, and I get accused of putting a lot of extra hate on Stu, and it's not extra hate. I just try and be realistic. He's a 4A player that has occasional moments. That's who he is. Yeah. And some of his at-bats, he was clearly overmatched in over the weekend. I mean, he was just, you know, way out in front of things. His whole upper body was looking down the left field line on swings. He was out of balance. He's pressing, and Friedel can't get back here quick enough.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Truth to that. All right. And our last one we got from good friend, Kevin Lynch. Not sure if you want to tackle this one, but I was asking myself this morning how this team was 3 games over .500. With the injuries and struggles from key players, I think the record will be worse. Being an optimist, maybe this means this team could take off from Manji. And we kind of answered this a little bit, and I think we are kind of in the yes department on that. So I believe this team is going to put a run together. I really do, especially once we get everybody back.
Yeah.
All right.
Just don't let the month of May dishearten you. I think,
right.
You know, it could be series wins in May could be very few and far between. They just have to not get swept by everybody. If they can do that, then we'll be okay, I think. But May could be rough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If they, like you said, like you've been saying on Locked On Reds, which you can check out every day on your podcast app of choice. If you finish 500 in May, you feel really good about your month of May.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. All right. So let's get to some not fun stuff here before we get to some more fun stuff to end the show. And we've all talked about a little bit the struggles of Jaime Candelario, which is going to lead into the struggles of other guys getting a lot of at-bats for this team. Steve mentioned one in the last segment already. Look. 0 for his last 19, a 580 OPS, 2 homers, only 4 ribeye steaks, 34 strikeouts to 10 walks. That is where I'm the most concerned. A 263 on base percentage, 317 slugging, 0 for 4 today with 4 strikeouts. I think the one thing that we don't point out in this 0 for 4 for 4 strikeouts, because I ran out of room, it was not a competitive 0 for 4 for 4 strikeouts. It wasn't like he was working a full count and they tricked him on the last strike.
In fact, Scott, on the weekend, he was 0 for 8 with 7 strikeouts.
Scott asks, is he the new Moose or Myers? I hope not, but I do kind of get a little anxiety because of this. And Ben and I talked about it a couple weeks ago when all these guys were kind of like, are you worried about CES? Are you worried about this? And look, we all love Spencer Steer. He struggled quite a bit. I was never worried about Spencer Steer. I know he's going to be fine. Yeah. But this is not only eye-opening, it's extremely concerning because, one, we're not even going to mention the fact that Nick Senzel all of a sudden learned how to play baseball, like, in Washington. Two, this is crazy. Just, like, looks lost no matter what side of the play he's hitting from. And he's your hot corner guy right now because Noelvi Marte and all the injuries. Mm-hmm. But I certainly think he'll be better, but I don't know what that means at this point.
So this Candelario conversation is actually my whole second segment on tomorrow's show. So I'm not going to dig real deep on it.
Yeah. Don't bury the lead.
Tune into tomorrow's show to hear my Jamer Candelario thoughts. But I do want to say that he's clearly struggling. And I have an issue. I have take exception with David Bell running him out there in the ninth inning for that final at bat. If they were telling us the truth and both CES and Tyler Stevenson were good to go after being hit the previous day in the hand while they were batting, if that was true, I don't see why you don't pinch hit with CES in the ninth inning there when Candelario clearly didn't have it. And what do you get after a golden sombrero? Do you get like a diamond jubilee sombrero? Or I don't know. I don't know what you get. But he struck out in 7 of 8 at bats. He clearly doesn't have it right now. Now
we used to call it the rusty bucket.
Whether or not we're thinking they should be done with him, whether or not we're concerned, none of those things matter. In the game, in that moment, someone needed, you know, Freddie Benavidez needed to wake up David Bell, nudge him, shake him awake, and tell him we really ought to pinch hit right here. That's why we have a bench coach, because clearly it's too much for David Bell to manage it all during the course of a game. So someone should have brought him a binder and showed him what was going on, because it's criminal. They had an opportunity to win the game. And why you run Candelario up there, who's clearly...
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Clearly struggling when you've got those other two guys on the bench. I don't see it.
No. Yeah. I, you know, it's just, I think it's the at bats, the way the at bats look for me. Like,
it's not even
like he's going up there and fouling off pitches and battling and, you know, hitting hard ground balls or you know, line outs. You know, when Tyler Stevenson was having a little bit of struggle earlier, like he was crushing the ball. He was just hitting into people's gloves. Like he had a 98% barrel rate. It was just going at people. Like he doesn't even look like he is remotely interested in hitting
the ball. I think Candelario's exit velocity is about the same as Tim Daniels' sprint speed. So neither one of them are going to get you anywhere very fast.
Right. Blow a hammy.
On my own show. I guess you got to give me back for the Steve Hates Friedel hashtag.
But yeah, man, like he just looks like he just doesn't even look comfortable. So, Steven, that's a great point. Like, if you've got other guys, especially Tyler Stevenson and CES sitting on your bench and you tell us they're healthy, how do you not run one of those two up there to try to take an at bat and you know what I mean, and try to make something happen? So I don't know. You hope that this is just a phase, but dude, baseball's unforgiving. So I think you see him struggling now. I hope this is not who he is, because right now we really don't have a reprieve with Noelvi Marte still out. You know, I don't know. I just hope that this isn't really him, especially for what we invested in him and what he's giving us in return.
Yeah, I encourage both you guys to check out our show tomorrow. Jeff's got some stuff that will help ease your heart a little bit as you worry about Jamer.
Okay. All right, good. That makes you feel better.
I listen every day. You're my dog, so you know. We Goonies stay together, right? So that's my second Goonies reference today. Reg related. I feel good about myself. Dude,
if you start doing the truffle shuffle on camera, that could be a game changer for your rating,
right? Or if you hit a baby, or if you hit a baby roost,
you might get unsigned from your podcast network just as quick as you got signed. You careful.
Shut up, Blue Wire. All right. Well, this here is not a site that people are going to love. So please shield your eyes as I bring this slide up as well. These are all guys right now who are getting rough at bats. Regular at bats with struggles. Will Benson, not worried about him. I think he'll be fine. I know he's striking out a lot right now. I'm okay there. Bubba Thompson, a 278 OPS. Nick Martina and Luke Maley both have 610s. Anything Luke Maley gives you offensively is a plus. So I'm not.
He had great at bats today. He did. Had great at bats today. They were great.
Yeah. He battles. Stuart Fairchild, Steve talked about it, 483 OPS. CES, a 525 OPS. Santiago Espinal, 513 OPS. Not fun. But as Chad said, guys, believe it or not, Chad made a positive comment on social media recently. It happens sometimes. Chad Dotson, Dotson C.
Someone hacked his account.
Someone definitely hacked his account.
They did. I was gonna say, somebody had to get his account.
He said, when everyone comes back, the players go away.
Yeah.
That's just true. And just to finish my thought on that, he sent a positive tweet or a good tweet. Were all the words spelled right?
I mean, he is an author. He has written a book. It can't confirm.
Doesn't mean a lot. Spell check is universal. Okay. just checking. Okay. No, put that graphic back up.
Sure.
As I commandeer your show, look at me go.
Please.
So of this list, Bubba Thompson will be off this team as quickly as they can get him off of this team.
Right.
Nick Martini will be probably the next guy to go after that because of his handedness. Probably by Stuart Fairchild, a reprieve. Stuart Fairchild is the third guy to go as guys come back. And then I think when Espinal might find a way to hang on with this team all the way through the return of Matt McClain. But as you look at it, I mean, Will Benson, you want to be an everyday guy. You're right. I think he'll be okay. But Thompson will be gone. Martini will be gone. Fairchild will be gone. And Espinal will be gone. All those guys will be gone as people come back. And it's a whole different show. And yes, he is the new Jason Vossler, although I have refrained from tweeting about him because we all know what happens when I tweet about Jason Vossler. So I'm not going to tweet about Nick Martini. So, but you can see the substitutions, right? You can see where these guys are going to drop off as dudes come back. Bubba Thompson will be the first one to go just as soon as TJ Friedl walks into the clubhouse. That'll be the same day move.
Max.
So yeah. Then your next guy is Martini, and that just depends on who gets healthy when. Do you move Martini to make room for Noelvi Marte and keep the extra infielders? I think that's probably the move because we're not playing Martini in the field anyway. So I think you can make a move there.
I'm with you, man, 100%. So that was enough bad things to talk about. You guys don't come here for the sad stuff. Actually, this next segment's a good one, but I don't know if you guys come here for this either. I wanted to talk about, so last week we talked about a prospect, and this week we're also talking about a prospect. Ben, who are we? What is going on? This is...
What's happening? It's like we never watch it. It's crazy.
Yeah, I thought we don't know these guys.
Yeah.
Cheers.
You start posting pictures of pizza every week. I'm going to think Doug might... Doug might sue you for trademark infringement or something.
That's true. But I wanted to talk about one Hector Rodriguez, who is making quite the name for himself. By the way, this Dayton Dragons team is beyond fun.
We've got to get up there for a game.
Yes.
They are incredible.
Yeah. Like all these guys that are super good baseball players are on this team. But Hector Rodriguez, who got called up to the Dayton team last year after short time with low A Daytona. This year, 329, 379, 873 OPS, two homers, 15 ribeye steaks. Dominican Winter League Rookie of the Year. He's only 20 years old. They got him in the Tyler Naquin trade. And if I remember correctly, that trade was more for Luis Acuña. And this was like, you can take him if you want him. I might have that wrong. It might be reversed. But anyway, dude, so we've been talking about like just I know all these guys we just had, when they had the number one class or have graduated to the next level, they're all on the big league team, or we're waiting for them to come back to the big league team from injury, et cetera. This kid, I think going into today, I didn't see what he did today, a 9% strikeout rate. Like, this is...
He won't be in Dayton long.
Yeah, he's not going to be there long. No, we might need to go like next week. Yeah,
no, there's a tremendous group of players in Dayton right now. I went to their media day when I was back for opening day. I went up and got to meet a bunch of the players. We had some interviews with them, and they're smart, talented baseball guys, man. They all know the game. They all know what's up. They're all super baseball intelligent. That's the pitchers and the position players. Rhett Lauder was super impressive in just what the time that I got to talk with him. Cam Collier is another one that is just going to be an absolute beast. Rodriguez is blowing up. I think all of these guys, you know, as we saw with the wave that's in Cincinnati right now, they kind of all bunched up and then started moving together for a bit there. I think that may be what happens, where the Dayton roster – first half of the season is the Chattanooga roster. The second half of the season. And it could very well be that some of these guys make their way to Louisville even before the end of the season, depending. But there's just so much talent down there. And I know that we talk about like not giving up on the prospect capital and why we don't make trades and guys we're protecting. This system is still stacked. There are still a lot of guys in the system that are just going to be making noise.
Yeah, I just think like the thing I love about him, and I know the power numbers aren't like super sexy by any means, but I absolutely just love the ability to make contact and the way to get on base and the way to make things happen. I'm a big fan. I like you said, like I might have to make a road trip to Chattanooga to see him play soon.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's the most impressive thing though, Tim, is that I mean, he is a 9% strikeout rate, dude, is incredible.
Yeah. I mean, at any level of pro baseball.
At any level of baseball, that's incredible. So, I mean, they got some young studs, dude. This team is a lot of fun. And with us only being 45 minutes away from Dayton, we got to get up there and see a game.
Yeah.
Actually. And it's a great place to just see a game. I mean, never mind that they're stacked right now. Just in general.
Yeah,
great place to see a game. There's great stuff around the ballpark. It's a good time in Dayton.
Yeah, it really is, man. So actually, Carlos asked, is Chattanooga getting a new stadium? They are. They're in the process of building a new stadium. Funny enough, my cousin just got married last year, and his wife got a job in Chattanooga. So they're living down there. They sent me a Lookouts hat last year. I had never had one, shockingly, even though it's one of my favorite logos ever. So I'm stoked for that. And one of these days, I've talked about this a million times with Carlos, if he could just ask some of his old buddies from his 2006 AA Chattanooga Lookouts team to just have a reunion pod here on Late Night Reds, I will just leave and let them talk and I'll produce the show. Because that team, if you look at that roster, it's the 2010 Reds, basically.
Yeah.
And Carlos. Speaking of our good friend Carlos Guevara, the Reds head out to Old St. Diego for a set with
who
the Padres.
He's going to be rooting for. Who's he going to be rooting for in that game?
So, for those of you who aren't part of the Reds media podcast feeds like the three of us are, this is just a series, right? This is just three games before you come home for the Orioles. Mm-hmm. For us, this is the Guevara Cup, folks.
Yes, it is.
This is the Guevara Cup.
Someone feed that kid on the right some food.
I was
going to
say, dude.
Good God.
A young 75 pounds,
soaking wet. Jeez.
When Carlos and I started working together on the previous rendition of Late Night Reds, I went on eBay and I bought every single one of these cards they had available. I have like a ton of them. So Steve, you want me to send you one? I don't know how much postage to Hawaii, but I'll get one to you. Oh man. So I know you mentioned Friar Faithful.
Well, I figured he would have picked the Reds because he never got a case of whiplash pitching in a red uniform.
Oh man. Come on. You didn't have to say any names, Alfonso Soriano. Sorry, buddy.
He's not
gonna
talk to any of us now.
Nope, we're not friends. We all just got that. Hey, his Texans came to Cincinnati and beat our Bengals this year. All right, he got one on us. So, you know, but I know Carlos, when we were working together, he would always have he'd always be one to show some love to both teams, and obviously when his best friend was on the team, which is not there anymore. But hey, that's not a conversation we're getting into. We're not doing that. We just wish him well, and wouldn't suck if he came back to the team and took some at-bats from some guys who aren't very good. But here's the week series. So Monday we got Nick Lodolo going against Matt Waldron, the knuckleballer. I looked at Matt Waldron's Baseball Savant page recently. And for a knuckleballer, he's not fooling a lot of people. So hopefully that keeps going this week. Tuesday, we have Nick Martinez against to be announced. It looks like the guy they originally had slotted that point in the rotation just got sent back to AAA. I can't remember. Rafael Suarez might have been his name. Not Ranger Suarez, who just smoked us on Monday. Different guy. What the hell, Tim? Monday, Tuesday, Sunday.
This is what happens when you drink while you're making slides.
Tell me about it, man.
High noon start kicking in. He's making slides.
So Wednesday, not Sunday. Graham Ashcraft going against Joe Musgrove. So that is the Guevara Cup Series 1 of 2024.
I got something for Carlos. Hang on.
Carlos says he is the TBA. We've got to pull this down so we can get a...
That's Carlos's.
Oh.
Well, there it is.
I'm sure you've heard this on the shows, but you know, Nate's actually moving to Dallas in the next couple weeks.
I texted him to see if he was here already. I was going to meet up with him, but he's not here yet.
Yeah. I think it's like a couple weeks, but, I'm hoping he'll be in town this summer. He said he's going to try to. So, we want to talk about this Matt Waldron thing because obviously knuckleballers being such a unique circumstance, things with him where obviously any dude who throws that and masters that pitch has a shot to beat you. It's just what it is. Mm-hmm. He has not been ideal so far this year for what he's supposed to do. His exit velocity is really high. His contact rate is really high. So hopefully that keeps going this week. But it's also something that really scares me because I've seen when R.A. Dickey wasn't R.A. Dickey anymore and still able to throw his knuckleball and get people out. Mm-hmm. So I'm hoping that that's not the case tomorrow.
But counterpoint, if Ellie De La Cruz can get on base every single time,
true,
he is going to run wild because the number of times that ball squirts away a knuckleballer is throwing, Ellie's just going to score every time he gets on base. He'll steal second, steal third, steal home. That's what will happen.
That's a good point. Oh, man. And then, you know, maybe Alex Blandino is going to be watching some film as he's trying to go on this journey. So I'm really looking forward to this series because I know this is another team who Padres on a 4-game losing streak. They haven't been the team for 2 years that we all thought they would be as far as like the people they brought in. So obviously they still have a ton of talent. Tatis, you know, obviously is awesome. So many guys to look forward to there, but this is going to be a fun series. I think this is a really good competitive series. And after losing 2 out of 3 to Texas, I would very much be very happy with obviously taking care of business in St. Diego. Steve, this is actually closer to your regular time of like when you're like up and awake and watching baseball. Whereas for Ben and I, this is close to like, you got to go to bed for work in the morning time, which I don't love. We got a 9:40, a 9:40, and a 4:10 on getaway day on Wednesday/Sunday.
Mid-afternoon Reds is my favorite kind of Reds, man.
I did joke that anytime like the Reds have one of these late West Coast games, it's just free publicity for us because everyone's like, how about the late night Reds tonight? And we're like, when people go and search it,
yeah. They find us, baby.
They find us. But one more time, like I said, this is not just a normal series, people. Make sure you're tuning in for the Guevara Cup and keeping tabs. And also, Carlos really loves when you interact with him on Twitter. So if you are watching...
Hey, that's not for the faint of heart, though. That should come with a disclaimer. Like, if you're going to go at Carlos Guevara on Twitter, buckle up.
Yeah, you are not ready for that smoke.
You are not lying. You are not ready for that smoke.
Yeah.
You better be ready.
Oh, man. It's almost like I don't get on Twitter much anymore. But what I do, I know I'm going to be entertained by that. So that's my joy every single time. All right, dudes. Well, hey, we just are a little over an hour today, so we didn't go too far over this week. Steve, obviously, everyone who knows who you are in this case, I am Ant-Man. So, but if we can just, for those, if there's some random Reds fan who doesn't know, how can they find Locked On Reds?
Oh, we're the Locked On Reds podcast. We're on every single audio feed pretty much that's out there. And if we're not on one you want us to be on, just hit me up on Twitter at S Offenbaker. We'll make it happen. You can also get us on YouTube. If you're watching this, easy to find, just search Locked On Reds when this is over and hit that subscribe button and the notification bell so that you get us every time we go live or drop something extra.
Aloha Fridays. Something I always look forward to. I'm sitting on my desk on Friday. I love it. So
yeah, those are my favorite. Those come back in the off season. We got random lives throughout the season, but the scheduled Aloha Fridays are all off season long every Friday.
Perfect. All right, dudes. Well, we're going to go wrap this up, but obviously I got to do my typicals here. Of course, check out everyone here on the Riverfront Reds feed, myself and Ben here on Sunday nights / Mondays. If you don't catch it live, to check out the podcast feed on Wednesdays, you've got Seth Shaner with Red Lake Roundtable getting a bunch of really fun guests on there each and every week. A big one coming soon. News to follow. And then, of course, on Thursday / Friday, recorded on Thursdays, go lives on Fridays. You can check out the Riverfront Reds show with Chad and Nate Dotson and their crew. They had me on last week where we did a draft of our all-time favorite Reds. And I think if my team played in that league, I'd win 3 World Series in a row. I smoked them very bad. Of course, check out Welcome to the Jungle with Joe and Parker, wrapping up the Bengals draft. So excited to see their overall review of what they did in there as well. And then Riverfront U, we get all of our college sports feed as well. So on behalf of Ben, on behalf of Steve, and everyone here at the Riverfront, this is Tim Daniel. Thanks for hanging out. Take it easy, everyone.